Good morning.
Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. It's so good to see your lovely faces. If you will quickly come in and grab a seat, Charlie Dupay is going to offer the Trinity Liturgy. Dupay is going to offer the Trinity Liturgy this morning.
Welcome home.
It's great to be home.
Why are we here?
To worship God. Thank you so much. Can you put your hands together for us? Thank you so much, Charlie, for doing that. We now have prepared for you to begin our time together a World Visiting Community in Malawi video to really promote and to celebrate our partnership with World Vision. If you read the bulletin today at 5:30, we're going to have a special dinner to highlight some of what's been going on in Malawi. And I'm pleased to share that we've raised over $126,000 to support over 300 kids there. So that's also means of putting our hands together to celebrate what God is doing throughout this partnership. So if you'll give your attention now to the screens, I think it's a 2-minute video that's going to show now. Thank you.
If you'll stand as you're able, we're going to sing Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. This is one of the favorite ones that we do in children's ministries that we all know. Awesome song. I think we're ready to go. Please stand if you're able. Yes. All right. Clap your hands.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven's birth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death to pay from the cross. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Jacob, a couple claps in here. Same thing again, here we go.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Awesome job. Thank you so much. Give yourself a round of applause.
I learned a guy's name yesterday. His name is John Gurdon.
I bet nobody would know who that guy is. I didn't know him. Let's see if anybody out there knows. Anybody know who John Gurdon is? Ah. John Gurdon just won one of the biggest prizes that is ever given out in a given year. Do you know what that big prize is? It starts with N. The Nobel, the Nobel Prize. It's not the Peace Prize. It's the this is a guy in Norway, I think, whose name is Nobel. But they give a big prize, a lot of money every year for lots of things. This one was for science and medicine. Medicine and physiology. And John Gurdon, when he was about your age or a little older, said to somebody, I want to be a scientist when I grow up. And you know what somebody said? The idea of you being a scientist is ridiculous. That's what somebody told him. But you know what he did? Here's a big word for you. He persevered. He said, I'm going to become a scientist. I don't care what that person said. And in 1962, just a second, 1962, that was a long time before you were born, or many of your parents were born, he started a thing of what we call stem cell research. And now, 44 years later, he and a guy from Japan are given this Nobel Prize because he persevered. He pushed through. He stuck to his dreams. And he worked hard to achieve them. And I just want to share that with you to say, if you've got a dream, or when you get dreams, you stay with them no matter what somebody else tells you, okay? Who knows? You might be a Nobel Prize winner someday. Would you pray with me? God, the future for these children is unlimited and unimaginable. I pray for each one here, each one of these sitting before me, that your perfect special plan will unfold for their lives and they'll become all that you dream them to be, and that whenever anybody says you can't, they'll say, oh yes, I can, because God is with me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may go, some of you back to your seats, some with Dustin, and the rest of you stand and sing our opening hymn. Thanks. Good to see you.
I
Are you standing? Let us affirm our faith together. With the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Be seated. In a minute, some names will appear on the screens. If you will please keep those individuals in your thoughts and prayers, William Martin Kane and Allison Lewis. And in addition to that, Cheryl Hartman. She was actually prepared to join the church today, but has pneumonia. And Cheryl is in great need of prayer, has some other complications going on as well. There may be some other situations going on and unfolding that we're unaware of. If you will please get those individuals on your hearts and let us together just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. And if you feel comfortable, feel free to grab the hand of your neighbor, symbolizing unity in the Lord. Gracious God, we come to you within this moment just to say thank you for this day. God, we come singing your praises. We say hallelujah to you. Why don't you just gently whisper that wherever you are? Hallelujah to you, God. Hallelujah to your word, your will, and your way. God, we come to you this morning with praise on our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts because you are such an awesome, glorious God. We thank you for how you watch over us, how you guide us, and how you provide for us week in and week out. Sometimes, oh God, we're so loaded with weight we can barely carry a thought. But because of the sufficiency of your grace and the consistency of your faithfulness, oh Lord, somehow we make it every time. And for that, God, we say thank you. Thank you for the simple things such as the air that we breathe and the ability to get out of our beds and to go on our day. We also pray for Tony Catarucci, who was very weak this morning and faint. Strengthen him, oh God, where he's weak. Build him up where he's torn down. God, we pray for those who are sick and ill and within hospitals, and we pray for those who are in hospice care right now. We just ask that you'll impart to them measures of grace to undergird them and to support them with warmth and compassion and strength. And God, we thank you for this great church, all of the ministries that make up this church, and we pray for all of the families that make up this church. And God, we thank you for the generosity of this great congregation. We lay before you our financial goals and campaigns, etc., and we pray that we will surpass them, all to expand your kingdom in the world. God, we also pray for Dan Johnson this morning, that you'll anoint him afresh and anew to minister like never before. And now, oh God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Troy Holloway is going to come at this time and share a few words with us regarding the campaign. Thank you, Troy.
kind of jumped the gun last Sunday, and I preached a sermon on the theme of our financial campaign this year, which is More Blessed to Give. And as people were walking out, I always appreciate the things that people say, but there was one thing said to me that stood out above everything else, and that is one of our very faithful members came up to me, looked me straight in the face, and said, "I get it. I finally get it. I understand how important it is to give and to give generously." And you know, I can hardly hear anything else anybody said after that, because that really is what it's all about. I have tried so hard these 7 years I have been here to help us to get that, to understand that, and many, many in this church have gotten it and have given generously. We are beginning today our financial stewardship event. It will end on November the 11th. In a couple of weeks, you will receive pledge cards in the mail. You can mail those back to the church if you'd like to, or even better, bring them with you on November the 11th when we have our closing celebration, and place them in baskets that will be around the worship center. I urge you, I challenge you to give more generously than you ever have in your life. And I absolutely guarantee you that you will be blessed in ways you cannot even imagine. So give, and give generously, and you'll be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Joy. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Joy. I have the extreme pleasure of inviting Lois Campbell to come up at this time. Lois is here to join the church this morning. Will you give her a warm welcome as she comes? Lois, if you'll stand here. Lois, I'm going to ask you just to share two things about yourself that we may not be aware of.
Okay. Well, I moved to Gainesville from San Diego County 3 years ago.
Wonderful.
And I visited several churches. And once I came here into the fisherman's class, I thought, that's where I belong.
Wonderful.
So, and I live at the village, as many of the other people here do.
Okay.
And I'm very happy to be here, and I love the Lord with all my heart.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. All right. Man, amen. Well, Lois, I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions. The first is, do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? So say, I do. And do you promise to live a life pleasing in the Lord's sight, upholding the standards of the Christian faith? So say, I do. And do you promise to support this church with your time, your talents, your gifts, your witness, and your service? If so, say, I do. All right, let me have a brief prayer with you. Gracious God, we do thank you for Lois. We ask that you'll order her steps to the appropriate ministries. We thank you for already connecting her with a strong Bible study group. And we just pray your blessings upon her, that you would use her unto your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have a welcome that we'd like to extend to you. We welcome you into our family of faith. We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church to make disciples of Jesus Christ, devoted to making a difference in the world. Again, would you welcome Lois to the church? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. If you're new or visiting with us, would you raise your hand and let us greet you? Anybody here for the first time this morning that we can say hi to you? If you are and you were shy to do that, go over to the Information Center afterwards, and we'd love for you to be greeted over there. A couple things about I wanted to mention. The John Michael Talbot concert is coming up next Wednesday. Jim Cook will be in the back to let you purchase tickets there. Tomorrow is the Interfaith Hospitality Network Golf Tournament. It's their chief fundraiser. Jay Gerald will be in the back too, near Jim. He and I and maybe a couple others are golfing from this church. Lots going on. And if you haven't been to the Pumpkin Patch, be sure and visit there. Now, one other thing I want to mention to you is that this church has moved forward because of the commitment of the members of the church. And back in the 1980s, a group of people came together to vision for the future, a 10-year long-range plan. And that led to the decision to relocate to this property. Another decision, a long-range plan, is determined that we would build this building, the infrastructure, and the education building. A few years later, another one, and another one. In 2006, a 10-year plan had 12 vision statements. We've already accomplished almost all of them. And now we're on the cusp of, we've just begun, a new strategic planning process for this church, a 3 to 5 year plan. And today, I'm going to show you a 2-minute video of sort of what we've accomplished in this last 10-year plan. I asked Kelly Ping to put something together. There's three or four pictures under each of the... We reduced the 12 vision statements to 9, just for felicity of use here. But I think you'll be thrilled and amazed and excited about what you as a church have done these past 6 years together. Would you watch this video as we share it now? Now I'm gonna, wasn't that exciting? Neat. What I'm gonna give you two choices of what to say when you stand and turn to somebody. You can either say, "Wow, it's exciting to be a part of a church like that," or "Those gators are really exciting to watch." Whichever you want. Greet the people around you, would you? Make them feel welcome at home.
God bless you. You may be seated. Again, this morning's Mission Box supports our World Vision children and community of Malawi. So let's please keep this very important initiative in our thoughts and in our prayers. At this time, let us pray. Gracious God, you indeed are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you for the gift of the many resources you've bestowed upon us. Now, oh God, we pray for our partnership with World Vision. And we ask your blessing upon this morning's offering. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Chancellor Clark. You know about our theme this morning, don't you? Perseverance. That art of pushing through one step at a time, putting one foot in front of the other. A lot of life is that ability to persevere. I often thought when I was in graduate school at Princeton, there were a lot of people a lot smarter than I there. But God and my parents had given me some sense of perseverance, just hanging in there. That's what I want to talk about today. Our text is this 1 Corinthians passage that we've been looking at in some detail this fall. We've looked at love is patient, love is kind, is not arrogant or rude or boastful or self-serving. We come to that verse today, which will come on the screen. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And that caused me to think about that passage in Romans 5 where Paul writes these words, "Therefore, since we have been justified, that is to say, made right, made in a deep relationship with God through faith, not something else, but through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access in by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings." I haven't gotten to that point in my journey yet, but I understand what he's saying. "Because we know that suffering, challenges, difficulties, produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So today's topic is perseverance. Whether you're a young mom with young children and all the challenges of that, or a parent with teenagers and all the challenges of that, or somebody who's facing some other challenge at work, whatever it is, the nature of life is perseverance. A few weeks ago, I shared with you an email that this friend of mine, I don't know that I know him that well, but I'm going to get to know him, who's serving in Afghanistan, wrote to me. His name is Mick. He receives my daily scripture email. I didn't know that he received it. I didn't know it went to Afghanistan. He's a soldier in Afghanistan. And in that email I shared with you, I asked for a prayer request for Mick, and he shared some of the troubling things that were happening there in Afghanistan. And so we've been praying for Mick. I got an email from Mick that said he was going to be released from his duty in a few days. This is October 7th, so he may be on his way home now. He said, "I'd be home by Halloween." I said, "Mick, could we welcome you home officially and sort of in a celebratory way?" He said, "Oh, no. I'm one of those under-the-radar guys. So you may never meet him." I said to him, "Have I met you? Do I know you?" He said, "Well, when I joined the church, we met. My grandmother's Quaker, and so I was not going to join up front. And you agreed, begrudgingly, to let me join from the back." And so he said, "I'm the kind of guy who'll change your tire in the parking lot and you'll never remember my name." That's Mick. But he shared with me another email that has just been sort of amazing to me. He reminds me of the writing of Hemingway, "The Old Man and the Sea," or "For Whom the Bell Tolls." Such insight. And people who came out of the last two services felt the same way. So I'm going to read this email. It's going to come up on the screen all the way through so you kind of get the impact. And then I'm going to go back and spend some time with it. But you can almost picture Mick there in Afghanistan, sort of the barrenness of the land, freezing in the winter, hot as blazes in the summer. And here's what he says. "I've found three kittens here that I've been feeding. I feed them twice a day. They're quite feral and won't let me near them. On the base, they are catching and euthanizing the cats due to rabies. There hasn't been a case of rabies in cats here, but the Army's famous for its overshooting the target with some of its policies. I sabotage the traps as I find them. I've taken traps apart to let my kittens out. Now that these kittens are no longer emaciated, they play and wrestle with each other. I know that I won't be able to keep them alive forever, but God wants us to love in spite of our intellect and obvious outcomes. He wants us to love in spite of all evidence to the contrary. Sometimes when you focus just on God, the details don't matter. I know someday I will come out one day and my kittens will be gone, caught in a trap somewhere that I didn't find. I can't focus on that. I'm focusing on loving them today and surrendering what I cannot control. I've never been a man of great vision. Do not have great intelligence or intuition. All I know is that I can do the small things and hope that God takes joy in them as I do. Sometimes it's all that I have. Now, I dare to venture to guess that whatever big thing was challenging you when you came into church today, it's a lot less now than it was. Am I right? He also wrote me, and I want to read this to you. I'm leaving the theater in the next couple of days. Should be home before Halloween. The Taliban and nature have done quite a number on this country. The Taliban kill anyone with an opposing position. Most of us have seen the stories of the young 14-year-old Pakistani girl who wrote about the desire to go to school as a young woman, to get an education, and also criticized the atrocities of the Taliban. And they stopped the bus one day. You know this story. Came on the bus and point-blank shot her. She survived. We hope she'll live. Many of the Pakistanis are standing up in opposition to this terrible, terrible curse upon the land of the Taliban. The Taliban kill anyone with an opposing position. They want no one to read, to develop an opinion that may be contrary. How many Bible studies, Reverend Dan, have you done where at the end there are opposing interpretations, but love is still in the room? That doesn't seem to be allowed here. I find that if your position is too rigid, you ultimately are insecure in your beliefs and you are insecure in the power of God. You have to allow God to be God. One thing that always makes me feel good, we will be at the dinner. We are all tattooed and looking rough and mean. Dinner is like an ugly convention. Then before we eat, most of us bow our heads and pray. We give thanks. It's a ritual most of us have. Integrating God into our day until God becomes God. Tell everyone back at Trinity, thanks for the prayers. Be grateful you live in America. It's such an amazing place. It's a place where people pray for me even though they haven't met me. How great is that? Wow. Now, I'd like to spend, since I think his email was so powerful, a little more time with just going through the kitten one and just see some insights. Because what I've discerned through this and some other conversations is God, I think, wants to tell us four things today. One, focus on the importance of the small things. Time. There's a lot more time than we think. That is perspective. Focusing on God and going to a sacred space. Those are the four things I want to mention today. But let me see how they emerge out of here. I found three kittens today. I mean, you can just picture this guy with his three kittens. Isn't this what the church is to be about? Finding people who've gotten trapped in bad habits, challenges, situations, circumstances that trap them. And I find these and I sabotage the traps and I set them free. Jesus said it a different way. I set the prisoner free. That's why he came. That's who we are as a church. Next one. I've taken the traps apart to let my kittens out. Let's go to the next one. Now that these kittens are no longer emaciated, they play and wrestle with each other. They're free when we filled up with the love of God. Thanks be to God. That's what, again, the church is about. I know I won't be able to keep them alive forever. But God wants us to love in spite of our intellect and obvious outcomes. He wants us to love in spite of all evidence to the contrary. God calls us to love. Not the results, not anything else, in spite of all evidence to the contrary. Next. Sometimes when you focus just on God, the details don't matter. I know someday I'll come out one day and my kittens will be gone, caught in a trap somewhere that I didn't find. I can't focus on that. I'm focusing on loving them today and surrendering what I cannot control. This guy's given us a gift, dear friends. I mean, he's telling it the way it is. I've never been a man of great vision. You've got to be kidding me. Do not have great intelligence or intuition. If he doesn't, none of us does. All I know is that I can do the small things and hope that God takes joy in them as I do. Sometimes it's all I have. Wow. So these four things. Focus on the importance of the small things. As some of us were sharing in the chapel on Wednesday, as I was asking their understanding of perseverance, that's what came out. One mother of a four-year-old said, one day my four-year-old collapsed in our yard. I came and picked him up. Took me to the doctor, and the doctor said, it looks like diabetes. She said, oh, no. She struggled. She said, I didn't know where God was. I couldn't feel God. And then she said, as members of my church came and surrounded me, brought notes, brought casseroles, brought words of kindness, and just came and was present, I began to feel again God's love and presence. And never underestimate this. Your presence, small as it might be, your note, your word might be the thing that conveys the presence of God that sometimes that the person might not otherwise feel. One woman shared that when she was taking care of her husband who was ill for a number of years, somebody in their Sunday school class made a list of names of people who could come by on Wednesday and set up a schedule one after the other so that I could get out to go to Publix and go to the hairdresser and do all of these things. It was a lifesaver, just a little thing. I asked one couple, what's been the biggest surprise through this journey you have of an illness? They said, how much people love us. Their notes, their expressions. Can I tell you again, don't underestimate what your word to somebody else, your note. I used to say, when in doubt, don't. I say now, when in doubt, do. Go, share, say something. One of the young men in the Bible study said, you know, when somebody shares with me, I've started responding by saying, I'm going to be praying for you. Is that all right? And time and time again, it not only blows them away, but it's overwhelmingly positive. It's a subtle way of, at any rate, they're very touched by it. The small things, the three kittens. Second, time. He knows that he's going to come out and the traps will be this way and that way. Do you remember those stages in your life when something went wrong and you thought the world was going to end? And you thought, oh my goodness, I can't go on. Yes, you can go on. And you just put one foot in front of the other. You just tough it out. You just know that somebody else has gotten through this and you're going to get through it too. And you have a sense of perspective that all time is God's time and it's longer than you think. And you just step back and you say, okay, God, help me see a different perspective. That's what I think this guy's done. Third thing, focus on God. When you can't feel God's presence, focus on God, and maybe God will bring other people to you, but God can bring you words of Scripture. They who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Let those words of Scripture say to you the things that you don't know how to say yourself. Be strong and of good courage, for I am with you no matter where you go. Focus on God. the final thing I would say to you, find that sacred space that you can go to and know that there you're going to have a connection with God. For me, it's on my walks in the mornings or in the afternoons or in the evenings. For other people, it's the chapel. Now, I'm a little embarrassed that I'm reading so many my sermon is pretty much emails today, but somebody said it's better than usual. You know, these are just these amazing gifts that somebody, I forget what day this came, Thursday or Friday. Pastor Dan, this is in response to your request regarding perseverance. In 2009, my wonderful husband of 35 years was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I'll never forget the devastating news. Suddenly, our normal life as we knew it was over. The oncologist gave him approximately 3 months as the cancer was already in an advanced stage. Each day was a gift, and God blessed us with 19 months. My world had been turned upside down. How could I be a caretaker and try to handle the finances, the house, and the car? I was in for a crash course in reality. This was such an unexpected, difficult, and heartbreaking journey. There were times I felt like I could hardly breathe. We tried to stay strong for each other. However, my tears flowed freely each night as I showered, and I wondered how I was ever going to cope. I felt so alone, overwhelmed, scared, and broken. I remember feeling dazed and very sad. I drove by Trinity and noticed the banner that read, "Chapel Open." Thanks, Jim, for putting that sign out. There was something deep within my soul that directed me to this place with such peace and serenity. If you've not been to the chapel, it's across that way from the camp, in the campus. The precious little chapel was surrounded by nature. I opened the door and was deeply touched by the soothing sounds of sacred music. I immediately felt comforted. I knew in the depths of my heart that I was standing in a holy place. I was in the presence of peace and love, way beyond my understanding. This became a ritual, and I visited the chapel several times a week. I always experienced a sense of calmness. I could take a deep breath, and I felt as if I had been hugged by God. He walked beside me through the valley of the shadow, step by step. He carried me through the very moments when I did not think I could survive. He also taught me how to keep on keeping on one day at a time. God was with me and helped me do what I couldn't do for myself. The chapel reminded me of the scripture verse where Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Aren't you glad this church built that chapel? How many of us have spent time in that chapel praying, feeling the presence of God? I don't know what all you're facing. I know what some of you are facing. But the four things that God has given to me for perseverance are small things, really important. See the larger perspective. Focus on God. Go to the chapel. Go to that place where you and God can be alone together. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for the chapel. Thank you for this church which saw the need to build that chapel, for the prayers that were written on the floor, for the prayers that emanate, for the beauty of the nature. Now, as many of us prepare to receive Holy Communion, a part of that is confession. And my confession, God, is that sometimes in the moment of my big challenge, my first response is to go everywhere but you. I'm not alone in that, God. Forgive me for that. And may I come first to you. And you promised that you would never leave us alone or forsaken. And these elements, these expressions of your presence among us as we offer a prayer over the bread and the cup, that your presence might be there, a constant reminder
that you are with us no matter what. And you loved us in spite of. And so we make ourselves known to you as you know, make yourself known to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me just say that we do offer Holy Communion each Sunday. Don't feel obligated to come, but if this is something that would touch your heart today, we invite you to come, receive the bread and the cup, maybe kneel. Would you stand as we sing our closing hymn? And if some of you would help serve Holy Communion, that would be very grateful for that.
Oh,
somebody's hand and receive the benediction. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.